So good to see everyone, and praise the Lord. It's a lot different. You always imagine what the last days are going to look like. Well, this is it. And like Pastor Mark said, if there's anyone here watching for the first time, if you've we're the Revival Fellowship. We're a people, as you heard in testimony there, in Brother Peter's testimony, we believe in miracles. We experienced the same miracles that they did back 2,000 years ago when Jesus was walking the earth. And we just hope that you have an open heart and just let the Lord's word minister to you today. I just want to start in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. So the title of my talk today is God Supplying Our Needs. And it seems like these days we've just got to get used to going through different things. You know, we try to make our plans and then things backfire. It's been interesting with us the last over 24 hours. I haven't had any electricity, so... you go to write a talk and you haven't got your computer. You know, you go to print out your talk, there's no printer and all these sorts of things. So it's all very different. I just want to read here, just one verse, Philippians 4 verse 19. And, this is, Paul, telling us about, how much the Lord loves us and that he supplies our every need. And, we read here, but God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And what a powerful promise that is. And we know that through the Holy Spirit we've been given everything we need to navigate through these times, because they're times that we've never been through. And as Paul could relate, his life was a lot different. You know, maybe he had plans of going to visit a church or whatever, but he would be arrested or move into different circumstances. And he is talking from experience here and saying that no matter what happens to you, because we have Jesus Christ, because we have the Holy Ghost, God is able to supply our every need through his Spirit, through Jesus Christ. So it is, it's something really different that's happening. The Greek word supply is plero. I think I'm pronouncing that right. But plero is used in the New Testament 90 times. And it's been used as supply once, but it's mainly used as fulfilled. If you want to turn to Matthew 24 and verse 3. So here is the signs of the times. And no doubt the disciples, when they were walking with Jesus, they were asking him, Lord, you know, tell us what are going to be the signs of the end. And here, Matthew 24 and verse 3, this is a time where he was with his disciples looking over Jerusalem, and you would have seen all the activity with the religious people and them going about worshipping God, but Jesus and his disciples were sitting on the Mount of Olives looking over the temple area, and the disciples knew that Jesus was not in tune with the religious people, and they were saying, Lord, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen to all these people? This whole system, everything that we have been brought up with, what's going to happen? And it's the same sort of thing now. Like we live in this age and we're all experiencing the same thing across the globe. Now that's never happened before. And the Lord is actually, he's got our attention. He's got everyone's attention. And everyone's just, talking about, you know, their future, what plans do we have and all these sorts of things. We'll just read here in verse 3. It says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives and his disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And that's so important. And preaching the truth in the last days is so important. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And just there at verse 7, the word pestilence, if you just look up in the dictionary, I looked up the Thomas Dictionary, and it just says there, very serious infectious disease that spreads quickly and kills large numbers of people. All right. So, the Lord has told us about these times. All the other things have come to pass. We've had, so many wars. We thought World War II was going to be the last, war that we're going to have. But ever since World War II, we've just kept on having wars. And Jesus says that this is the beginning of sorrows. Very interesting how the times that we're living in here, and the Lord actually, if we ask him the same question, he's saying that these are the last of the last days. I want you to stay focused. We go to 1 Peter chapter 2. So how does the Lord want us to conduct ourselves? Because there's so many distractions happening now. And here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, and this is Peter speaking to, this epistle here went out to all the world, and it was a general epistle, and there's lots of great insight and lots of information that we can take here that Peter's saying that when you start seeing these things, you've got to be focused in on your calling. Just right here in verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. And we know that the Lord wants us to always see ourselves as strangers and pilgrims, that this life here is only for a moment, and our real life appears when Jesus Christ comes back. That's our real life. And not to get involved with the distractions that are going on. If you get on the internet and you just look, there's conspiracy theories. You know, is China conducting a biological war? Is vaccines changing our DNA so we buy Microsoft products or whatever? And that we drop our Apple computers and take on PCs? Or, no doubt there's evil in this world. And there's things that are happening around us that we don't understand. But the Lord wants us to stay focused on the job that he's given us to do, and that's to preach the gospel. And that's the job he's got for us for the last days. I just want to quote, I'll just quote Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. And there's a great line in this verse here. And it says here, let God be true, but every man a liar. And that's basically what environment that we're living in. We just cannot, we don't know what's right and wrong when you look at, what's happening, with the world. And, is there false information being broadcast? We just don't know. But what we do know is, God's true. And God's saying here in scripture, every man's a liar. And, we need to do is just follow the scriptures. The scriptures have given us everything we need to navigate through this life. We'll go on in verse 12. Having a conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, by your good works, which shall they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And it goes on to say, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or unto governors or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of all of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And as free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. And it goes on, verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Such sound advice at these times, you know, it's all about, looking after your own salvation, looking after your brothers and sisters in the Lord and being an inspiration to them, listening to the Lord and obeying the powers to be, because all the governments that are set up in the world, that's all allowed by God. All this is allowed by God. This is all, there's not one government in power that is not allowed by God. So we've just got to go with the flow. And every time we see a opportunity to preach the gospel, that's what the Lord's got the saints on the earth for. We are the shining lights. We'll go to John chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 16. And talking about supplying our needs, well, the first example of this for the whole world and the first need for mankind is their salvation, that we need the saving of our souls. We know our souls are going to our souls are eternal, and we need to be saved from our sin. And it's a good reminder here of our mission and Christ's mission. And here in verse 16, very famous verse, but praise the Lord, it's the saints that are applying this verse. And here in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I just want to have a look at this scripture here, talking about supplying our every needs. And Jesus Christ was given to us. He is the perfect gift for mankind. He came and he showed us the way. And as we look to him, we understand how much God loves us when you look at Jesus Christ. And we're going to remember the Lord's sacrifice a little bit later, and all the things that the Lord did for us and for the world. And we know that the Lord is not going to hold back in any way. If there's anyone there, that it's just a matter of approaching the Lord, and the Lord's not going to hold back. And it's written here. He didn't hold back in any way. He gave us his son. And what an amazing gift. He's a wonderful rescuer, Jesus is. We'll go verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's it. That's the goal. Verse 18, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the state of the world. There's only one thing that you need to answer in this lifetime. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? And if he is, are you going to submit to him? It's that simple. And then you've got these two groups in the world. One group that ignores God and everything that he's doing, and another group that, is just obeying the Lord and saying thank you to everything that the Lord is supplying. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And you can see here that we're living in a dark world, and this example here, that no one's going to come out and can say to God, well, you know, I didn't see the light. I didn't see your son. I didn't, I didn't know that I had to make a choice, because here it's saying, it's like being in a cave and shining a torch and saying, oh, no, I didn't see it. You know, I didn't see the torch. It, you know, you can't but not see it. And and the Lord is actually calling out and saying that you'll be without excuse. Jesus Christ has come and manifest himself, and he's shone his light in this dark world, and there's no excuse. You need him to cover your sins. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. And while we're going there, just read out Acts 2 and verse 4. And this word supplied, or in the Greek plero, is used as filled in this verse. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so when the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit, and the Greek word plero means to fully, as if you've got a net, and that net is so full that it's going to break. And so when the Lord fills us with the Holy Ghost, when he supplies us, he gives us everything, and it's to overflowing. And so we've got the Holy Ghost within. The Holy Ghost is there, to give us everything. And here in Luke 11, a bit of a reminder of how we started with the Lord. And, it was a matter of calling out to him. And I just want to read, Luke 11 and verse 9. And when someone new is visiting our meetings, these are the scriptures that we show them. And we say that God can be found. And for us at this time, it's a reminder of what we should be doing, because there's so many things happening in our environment, so many distractions, and I just want to read this out, because this is how we get supplied by the Lord. This is how we make contact with him. Verse 9: For I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you; seek, and you shall find; knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. How simple, but how powerful are those if you understand it and do it. And when we pray in the Spirit, that's exactly what we're doing. We're asking, we're seeking the Lord, and the Lord opens up ways, and he gives us everything that we need. And it goes on, if anyone that's watching this hasn't received the Holy Spirit, this is how you go about doing it. And the Lord goes on and explains to us how good his Heavenly Father is. And verse 11, For if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil and natural, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So the Lord's just reminding us here, the end result of seeking the Lord is that you're going to be supplied with the most perfect gift, the most perfect result. The answered prayer, the promise is the blessing, and the promises that you'll get will be perfect for that situation. And it's a bit of a reminder for us now. You know, we're at home, and the Lord wants us to, he's given us the Spirit, he's given us the ability to speak in tongues, and he wants us, no matter what comes up, whatever doubt or whatever direction you feel that the world's pushing you, that you can seek the Lord. We'll go to Romans chapter 8. So how does the Lord supply our needs? Well, it's a matter of communicating to him, and he's given us the most perfect way to communicate, and that's speaking in tongues. If we go to verse 26, just for the sake of time, I was going to read through the verses beforehand, but the few verses before verse 26, it talks about us looking to the Lord's return, and it talks about nature and his creation anticipating the Lord's return. And while we're anticipating the Lord's return, the Lord wants us to stay in constant communication with him. And we'll read these scriptures here in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmities or our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so here, this is, I know we've read these scriptures lots, but they really jumped out at me at this time, that the Spirit interceding for us is just the most amazing thing, that bridge, that connection that we have with the Lord. We're never alone. We're never isolated. And the Lord always has supplied everything that we need. He knows what's going to happen in our tomorrow, but he's already made provision for it. It's just a matter of knowing what to do, and it's simply just keeping in contact with the Lord. And when we go on and read the next verses, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So it's a wonderful future for us. Those of us that pray in the Spirit have all this. The Lord was the first, we're the first fruits of what the Lord laid down there, right back in the beginning. And by seeking him and by looking to him, the next two verses are fulfilled, because we know that nothing can overcome us. And we'll just read verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Just a wonderful verse. These things, that's what's happening around us. You know, what do we say to these things? Well, what we say to these things, if God be for us, we can overcome anything that comes up, any time that comes up, any pressure that comes up. The Lord is there for us. Verse 32, how much is he committed to us? Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So the Lord's not going to hold back. You know, he didn't hold back his son. And he's not going to hold back from us now. No matter how tough it gets or what happens, the Lord is never going to release his hold on us. He's never going to stop supplying us. He's not going to stop blessing us with miracles, signs, and wonders. The Lord has already made provision for everything that we're going to go through. We'll go to Matthew chapter 14. And I wanted to read this story about Jesus feeding the 5,000 and having a look at it a little bit differently. And here, when the multitude was coming to Jesus, actually, we'll just read verse 13 first. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed hence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. It's pretty amazing reading and picturing that a multitude of people coming to him, and he knew their needs. Not only did he know their needs, but he was able to supply their needs, and he healed their sick. And as a type, the church in the last days is this multitude. And as we come to the Lord together, the Lord can heal us. He can set us free. He knows what's happening in all our lives, just as he did with this multitude that left their life and went to seek the Lord at this time. Even though the Lord went to a desert place, they followed him. And because their eyes were fixed on him, it was the Lord that they were following. They weren't looking at their environment. They weren't looking at the environment where the Lord was. They weren't sort of working out whether there was enough food or shelter or whatever. Because Jesus was there in the desert, they left their cities, they left their sheltered place, the place where they were comfortable, and they went out seeking the Lord, and the Lord supplied their every need. And this is a type for us, that the church, we've left our old life, we've put our trust in the Lord, we've burnt all our bridges, and we're following the Lord. Now, the people in the world are saying, "Oh, you're living in a desert place. You know, you've left all your comforts. You've left the world." But we've got Jesus. We've got everything. It doesn't matter what comes up. He's going to supply our every need. We'll go on in verse 15. It says, "And when it was even, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," or food and drink. "But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart, give them to eat.'" They're sort of like, don't let them go. We've got food. And it goes in verse 17. "And they said unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, 'Bring them to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children." What a wonderful miracle, and what a wonderful type of what's actually going on now in our times. That's the Lord again is reminding us, "I will supply your every need. You keep your eye on me. You use everything that I'm giving you, and you'll never go without. No matter what happens, no matter what the environment looks like, you just keep on following me." Just to finish, we'll go to Luke chapter 14 now. The wonderful thing that the Lord has given us is that he's given us a purpose. That's another thing that he's supplied, where you look around the world and people are looking for a purpose, looking for somewhere to put their energy, somewhere that will fulfill them. And the Lord has given us, he's supplied us a purpose when we receive the Holy Spirit. And our purpose is to go out and to invite people into the kingdom of God, to tell people that there is a wonderful wedding feast coming, and to get involved. There's a place for you. And we'll just read this parable here as we think about the purpose that the Lord has given us, and the identity that he's given us. So we'll start in verse 16, Luke 14 and verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And we know that, again, this is what we're doing. This is what we're involved in the last days. It's going in and out and inviting people to the supper and saying that there's not much time, and we get people that reject us, but it's wonderful when people respond to the gospel and you see the Lord working in their lives and being part of that. And that's what the Lord wants us to be caught up with in these last days, not to get distracted, but keep on going out each day and inviting people in, telling people that there is this great supper, this great opportunity to join into the kingdom of God. Just the last scripture, we'll go to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, just to finish. And while we're doing this, the Lord here in Romans 15 and verse 13 sort of sums this all up, this whole talk here. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, as we approach the day of the Lord, the Lord's saying that being focused on Him, He's going to fill us with all joy and peace in believing and doing what we're doing, that we will abound in hope, that we're not going to come to the day of the Lord out of energy and sort of distracted. We're going to come to the day of the Lord on fire, overflowing, having all these miracles and testimonies in our lives. And that's what the Lord wants for us. And so I just want to leave it there, folks. The Lord has already gone before us. It's a very different time, but praise the Lord. It's exciting. And all the people said.